Hey guys, this is Naeem, and you've reached the Mosaic Church podcast. So excited that you're part of our listening community, and I'd love for you to be even more connected. So check out our website. There's more content there, and there's more opportunities for you to get connected in our ministries and events as well. Also, love for you to share this content. If this is blessed to you, I know that God wants to use you to bless other people with it. So share this podcast, if you will. Lastly, would you consider supporting this ministry? This is made possible by other people's generosity, and I'd love for you to pay it forward. Join us to reclaim the message and the movement of Jesus together. So would you consider giving to this ministry? I know that God is able to do immeasurably more through us when we come together. Thank you so much. God bless you and enjoy.
You guys are ridiculous. Aren't they ridiculous? They are. We've got the best people. Well, welcome, friends. How are we doing this morning? How's Mosaic doing? Good. All right. For those of you joining online as well, this is going to be a little different. I'm going to be sharing an opportunity that we have as a church. So that explains these cards that you found on your chairs. And if you have given us your email, and then when we send emails, you read them. I'm not being sarcastic at all, but if you read them, you'll know what's up and what today is all about. I'm really excited. About it. Here's why. Because I want to be talking about how we have an opportunity to expand our impact in a particular country called Pakistan. And you're like, why Pakistan out of all the countries in the world? So let me just explain really quick. For those of you who know me, you know I'm from Pakistan. And for those of you who do not, let me show you a picture. I'm going to show you a picture, and this will explain a little bit of backstory about my life a little bit, okay? So I'm going to show you this picture. It's going to be on side screens. This is me, super excited, okay? Guess what this day was for me? This is the day when the U.S. government gave me religious asylum to stay in the country. Woo, 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 woo. Okay, there's not a lot of excitement. Like, that means I didn't get deported. Hello, hey, okay. I didn't know. Like, right, Kyle? I was like, what's happening here? Yeah, what's going on here? I don't know. There's a few of you were like, I don't know. Maybe we should send him back. Maybe we should. But so I was born and raised in Kuwait. My parents actually moved from Pakistan to Kuwait and for a better life. And I was born there. And then the Gulf War took place in 1990. And I was there during the war, and I got to come to this country. When I came here, I was a Muslim. I was not interested in church or Jesus or anything like that. But I had a supernatural encounter, and that led to just a change of everything in my life. And what happened is I broke a Sharia law, a Muslim law, which means that if a person who was born and raised Muslim would convert, he's punishable or she's punishable by death or imprisonment for life. And so I did not know that I broke this law until my country was obviously hostile towards me. So I couldn't go back to Kuwait either because even though I was born in Kuwait and raised in Kuwait, if you know anything about the Middle East, they don't give citizenships away. You know what I'm saying? They only let you stay there for as long as you make them money. You can't own land there. You can't settle there, in a sense. You're always an immigrant there. And so I had left Kuwait, and I had been 6 months, and so I couldn't go back to Kuwait, and obviously couldn't go back to Pakistan, and found out that Kuwait also has this same Muslim law that they are allowed to punish someone by death or imprisonment because of this conversion law. And I am an infidel towards them and all that. So anyways, I got so excited by this picture because this thing was like, I remember going into the immigration office week one and trying to figure this out. And it was such a long journey. And the truth is, friends, is that it's been quite the journey of like finally getting a green card. Have you ever heard of a green card? Anybody heard of a green card, right? It's not green, by the way. So you know, it's not green, okay? And then I got citizenship. It took me 10 years, people, 10 years to become a U.S. citizen. Yeah, yeah. Again, some of you are like, I don't know. We don't know if we want this guy. But yeah, it took me 10 years. And I don't know if you, I don't expect you to understand the life of an immigrant, refugee. But recently I was talking to a new friend of mine who just fled, recently fled a couple of years ago from the Taliban and from Afghanistan. And so we were talking about the first day arriving here in the States with basically nothing, and it's talking about the generosity and the kindness of people. And I thought, you know what? It's so true. I don't think people understand that immigrants live on the generosity and the kindness of other people. People who don't know them, but care for them, provide for them, give them a place. It is so big, so huge, guys. And I want you to know that the reality is that sometimes in our Christian faith, we don't understand the value of kindness and generosity, our acts and our works. Because see, the message of Jesus is that you can be in right standing with God without this idea of works and deeds and things like that. So you can't earn your way into heaven. But the truth is that as we know this as truth, there's a bigger reality, and that is we don't need to earn our way into heaven, but we are called to create heaven on earth. That there is a opportunity and a command for us once we have been recognized by God, in the sense that we recognize him and he recognizes us and he allows his spirit to work inside of us, that we are not supposed to focus on really being good and being good, which religion does, but we're called to do good in this world. And so today we have a great opportunity to do that. And I want to share that with you. But let me take you to a passage of scripture first that really I want this passage to forever shape the way you think about your relationship with God and what God wants you to do in this world. So it's the story of the Good Samaritan. Anybody hear of that? The Good Samaritan? Anybody hear of that? Okay. The Good Samaritan is a story of let's read it. Right? Let's read. It says here, Jesus makes up a story and basically says, there's a man, okay? He basically tells an untrue story to communicate truth, okay? Which is, you know, great movie tellers, movie directors do that, producers do that, writers do that, and Jesus was definitely all of those. And so he tells this, makes up the story, but it shows us this profound truth. And so he starts off and he says, a man was going down Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to Jericho, when he was attacked by who? Robbers, okay? They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. And then a what? Help me out with this word. A what? Priest. So we get the imagery that this was a religious person or a non-religious person? Religious person. A priest, the highest of, you know, a pecking order in a sense, okay? A priest happened to be going down the same road. And when he saw the man, he passed by on the same side. No. What did this priest do? In the story, he what? He crosses the street over. Have you ever crossed the street over for someone else to avoid someone else? Come on, you know. You're like, you know what? I should never have dated them. I should have never. Or I should have never. Like, you cross the street over. You skip the grocery aisle just to avoid them. You know what I'm saying? You don't want to see it. And some of us, we've seen people on the street. I mean, let's be honest here. We've seen people, homeless people. And you're like, I'm just gonna do this. Okay? So he says, okay. But a priest does this. And then he goes on, he says, and so too a what? A Levite who is basically the next, he is a priest in training, okay? When he saw the man, he passed by on the other, like, so he came to the place and saw him pass by on the other side. Same thing happened, all right? So the next passage is this, but, Jesus says, but a Samaritan. Now, the Samaritans were people like, the Jewish people did not like them. They believed that they were impure. They believed that they were not real Jews. They had similarities. They believed that they had pagan stuff. It's like looking at a denomination or looking at a sect of Christianity and going, you know what? I don't know about those people. Like, you know, let's be honest here. Like, some of us, we look at maybe Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons, or maybe for you, it's the Baptists, you know? You're like, those people, I'm not quite sure about that. And so Jesus brings up that kind of person is walking down, and as he traveled, came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him, he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine. That's pretty interesting. Why would Jesus make up a story about a Samaritan doing that? Because number one, would Samaritans actually do this? Would they actually do this? I'm not quite sure because the two groups did not like each other at all. But then he goes on, he says, then he put the man on his own donkey, brought him to an inn and took care of him. The next day he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said. And when I return, I will reimburse you for what? Any what? Extra expense you may have. I'm going to pay for everything, but if there's extra stuff, and some of you guys know there's always extra when it comes to medical bills, like I'm still paying them off, right? But this guy goes over the top. Jesus is telling a story that's over the top to communicate something. And that what he's saying here, friends, is that when we become spiritual people or religious people, there's a tendency to want to become and be holy, to be clean all the way around, to be pure, to not be defiled by the world or things like that. And what we sometimes think that we, as we become followers of Jesus, need to separate from culture and avoid anything that's dirty, painful, complicated. But yet this story tells us that Jesus wants us to be people that move towards the pain of the world, not crosses the street and passes on the other side. See, we're actually called to move towards trouble and mess and complication of the world. Like, so when we see people, you're like, oh my goodness. Like, think of the person in your job who is like, oh my gosh, there's no hope for her. There is no hope for him. Like, he is a mess. Okay? I mean, I don't think he could ever be straightened out. Jesus says, I want you to move towards that. Like, not to help just easy people get cleaned up. No. Go to the mess of people. Now, I'm not saying get into abusive relationships. Did you hear me? I'm saying, though, that Jesus is making a point that there is something about when you are moved by God, that you move towards people who are in hard places in life. And you do that. You do that. You know, I'm so grateful for immigration officer. She took a chance on this Pakistani because she could have sealed my face. If she would have denied my asylum, I would have been shipped back to Pakistan, not even Kuwait. And my life would be very different, friends, especially because now I was a follower of Jesus and I committed this crime. I'm not quite sure what would have happened. But you know what? There have been in my life so many people who've taken chances on this Pakistani. In fact, when we started Mosaic, right? Now, this was crazy because it was post 9/11, right? And all the terrorists looked like me, apparently. You know what I'm saying? I mean, they're like, oh my gosh. I mean, I've never been in a moment in history where the whole country, the country that's always opinionated and always divided, after 9/11, you guys were all united. The problem was you guys were not united against someone that looked like me. So I was suspecting myself days. You know, I was like, are you real? And so when Ash and I decided to leave the church that we were part of and start this church, you know, and call it Mosaic. I mean, I remember one of the pastors saying, are you serious, man? You're going to call it Mosaic? It sounds like mosque. I was like, no, it doesn't. It's Mosaic. It's Mosaic. They're like, okay, you know, you're Pakistani. I'm like, yeah, I know, I'm Pakistani. Yeah, okay, just, you have a Muslim name. Yeah, I know, I have a Muslim name. Okay, you're gonna start a church in the South. Yeah, I know, yeah. And they're like, okay. And I remember asking one of the pastors, like, hey, you think it's gonna work? And you know what he said? We'll see. We'll see. He happened to be the senior pastor, so I'm like, okay, so here's the deal. I need my job back if this does not work. But before we left, this guy asked me to go to coffee, and he sat down and he said, hey, so I heard your message about going and starting a church. And I was like, he's trying to convince me not to do it. You know, it's a bad idea, bad idea. And I was like, yeah, I'm thinking of doing that and all that. And he said, hey, and I knew him, but I didn't know him a lot. And he said, hey, I meet with a couple of guys in the mornings, and we've been doing this. And he was this older man. And he said, hey, I've set up something called the Angels of Mosaic. And I said, what? He said, yep, I got the guys together, and we decided that we are going to make sure that the first year, for the first couple of years, you and your wife will always have money. If the church cannot afford it, we will cover your expenses. We are going to be the Angels of Mosaic. And I was like, man. I was like, yes, thank you. And he said, so just go do what God's called you to do, just so you know you have angels with you. And I was like, come on. You know what I'm saying? I mean, again, taking a chance on this Pakistani. And I'm so glad. Also, I want to just say to you guys who are watching and listening and you're here in this room, you take a chance on me every Sunday. I am always the minority. You know what I'm saying? You're like, oh, yeah, yes, I am. We got some Indians in the house for sure, because we always have Indians in the house. There's always an Indian in the house. Yes, yes, make some noise, yeah. But I'm always the minority. And you take a chance when you come and you're allowing me to speak into your spiritual life. And so it's overwhelming. It's great. And so today I want you to take a chance on some Pakistani kids. And that's why this thing is all, that's why this is on your seats. A couple of years ago, Jason, a guy came up to me and he was talking to me about this opportunity that of reaching kids in Pakistan. Now, I just want you to know, Pakistan is hostile towards me. And so he began talking to me about a Hope Center, and just like a center that that has been built out and can house Muslim kids and Christian kids. But these kids, they're extremely poor, and they don't have a lot of resources. And partly because, honestly, some countries are so closed off that they don't allow foreign help. Does that make sense? Other countries are open to it. Pakistan's not one of those, and especially a Christian nation, you know, in a sense. And so for me, I was like, I would love to do something in Pakistan, but I can never do it. So he talked to me about this guy, a pastor, and apparently, it's a friend of mine, and I know he's in Karachi, Pakistan, and I actually preached in his church through Zoom, and I know him, and I'm like, seriously, so this is happening? He's like, yes, and he's got these kids, and they're 40 kids. He's trying to create this school that will be holistic. It's like not just education, but it's also nourishment and spiritual formation, all of those things. It's holistic, and I'm like, that would be amazing. He's like, so he was like, you know, I work for an organization, and I want you to consider being the first guy to sponsor this kid in Pakistan, a kid in Pakistan. And so Ash and I prayed about it and talked about it, and I'm like, this is a crazy opportunity. And then he actually talked about how we as a church could have a global partner in Pakistan. Now, we've had some other global partners, and we do in the DR. We have a global partner and a sister church in Bergamo, Italy. But Pakistan is a very closed-off space. But this is an amazing opportunity. And so what I want to do is I want to ask Jason to come up. Can you make some noise for him? And we'll talk through a little bit the details. Make some noise. Awesome. Thanks, bro. So glad you're here. So glad you're here. Your chair is coming. Yeah, Danielle's coming, making it. There she is. Awesome. Awesome. So.
Thanks so much.
Yeah, man. Okay, so I know when we talked, you were like, hey, I don't need to talk a whole lot, but we got some logos back here, okay? I'm going to explain what is it. So you're with one child, correct?
Yes.
Okay, talk to us about that.
So really quickly, I just want to comment on your message. Amazing.
Oh, man.
So here's the thing. I have wear a variety of hats. One child, pastor, chaplain. And with all of it, I have always tried to live with a missionary mindset, which is actually why I love being here and why I love you, why I love Mosaic, is that you all live with a missionary mindset. And I was raised in a way that made this idea of missions something where you pack up a suitcase and go to the furthest parts of the world. But it's not that.
Yeah.
You know, living with a missionary mindset means, number one, that you're just simply aware of the global community. Just like you talked about, like not passing to the other side, understanding our world is small and it's getting smaller.
Yeah.
We are part of a global community. It secondly means that we live by faith, that we're known for love, and that we are a voice of hope.
Now, you know that's our vision, right?
Well,
of course you do.
I do, because you have a missionary mindset, and that's what it's all about. It's this awareness of the global community. Yeah. It's living by faith, being known for love, and being a voice of hope, which then, as you're sharing so beautifully, allows us to start to do good things for this global community we're now aware of. And that's powerful, because good deeds creates goodwill, which then opens up hearts to receive the good news.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so with One Child is an organization that focuses on holistic child development. It meets practical and physical needs of children who are in the hardest places in the world.
Yeah.
The organization's been around since the 50s. Mm-hmm. It originally focused just on India. It expanded its focus, and we're now growing, and we are in 17 countries. More and more are coming. And within the last year, there was a sector revolutionary thing that happened.
Yeah.
Because within the space of holistic child development and child sponsorship, it's been around for about 100 years or so, the way that it's done. And there's not been a lot of changes, developments, advancements within that space. It's basically been, you know, you sponsor a child, you write letters.
You
pay a thing.
And mostly it's only like education, right?
Right.
So these kids, they come to school and then they are out.
Right.
They're out on the streets again.
Right.
Yeah.
But the heart of One Child is holistic child development.
Yeah.
The total person, mind, body, spirit. This idea of education is a huge piece.
Right.
But beyond education, food, medical health and wellness, social development.
Yeah.
Discipleship, instilling faith. And so within that sphere, we've continued to focus on holistic child development. But with the advent of Bridgely, which is that.
So let's walk through this. So One Child is the organization. This Kingsway School is the Pakistani school that the Hope Center that we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay, that we're partnering with.
Yes.
And I love that, because I'll tell you what, there's a lot of organizations, good ones, but when they do good work globally, their partners are not solid over there. Like, you don't know what's really happening with your money, with the letters and all that.
Right.
But the fact that Pastor Mushtaq, it's such a good work. I mean, it's like, it's legit work.
Yes.
So that's great. And then that Bridgely.
Yes.
Is the app, right?
Right.
That I'm so excited about.
Right. Which is the cool thing, the development, the sector revolutionizing thing that One Child was a part of.
Yeah.
So here's the unique thing. I've been connected with One Child, but really today is not about One Child. So One Child, they were experts in holistic child development. But the vision was to kind of move out of the space where it's all about One Child and really make it about the local church, which is the hope of the world, the local church here, the local church across the seas. And so today is really more about a celebration of Mosaic, and it's a celebration of Kingsway School and the ability to bring these two worlds together. People with a missionary mindset, awareness of the global community, people who are known for love with a vision of hope. And they they are going to be connected today.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and the app is what I'm really pumped about,
because yes,
everything that you're saying is really is possible with this app. So, strangely enough, like most nonprofits don't have the technology and the development to do this. So, child sponsorship is always a letter. You send a letter out, you get a letter later on. You know, you communicate maybe once, twice a year, and that's about it. With this app, I mean, I'm talking to the developers of this, and that's how I was brought into this conversation. And I got really excited about this, because then I thought, okay, this is a way to create an online digital community with people that you sponsor and their caregivers. And so this app is so revolutionary. Now, it's a lot of work, and it's really expensive, but one child, you guys have helped develop that. And so we're going to walk through this app there where I know the Bridgely's idea is to be able to sponsor any child anywhere in the world, which is awesome vision, but that's a lot. But we've been on this app. We'll walk through it. But
yes.
I think that's the big thing, is that this app allows us to create a community, our community connected to the church. So if 40 kids, we sponsor 40 kids. Now the people who are part of that are now on this online kind of quote-unquote Facebook, it's not Facebook, but, you know, an online community where we're interacting with, I could interact or know about the child that you're sponsoring as well. And you could see the stories that I've made. And so it's like this really great community that we raise these kids up and their teachers and help them. So it's a beautiful thing, bro.
It's about expressing love, yeah, being a voice of hope, yeah, within community with an almost instantaneous direct,
right,
connection. So again, yeah, today is about Mosaic, a church who's led by a pastor where the community is carrying this heart to change the world. Yeah. There's now, we have, of course, the school full of kids in Pakistan. You did a beautiful job describing the reality there. And now Bridgely, this, mm-hmm, connective tissue to, yeah, bring the two worlds together.
Yeah, man.
All and right, something awesome, amazing can happen, yeah, as the result.
And so you came to show us a video as well. So I, yeah, think we have that video.
All right.
So let's watch that. Man, thank you so much. Great. Can you give him a hand, guys?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, awesome, bro. Let's watch that video.
Inside a brick colony. And that's the pastor there, Pastor SN, talking to some of the workers. And this is where bricks are made.
These are the actual raw bricks. They are, as you have seen, the raw bricks there. Yes. They were making with the mud. Right. So they bring those raw bricks here. In 24 hours, the bricks will be like this. So after 24,
but that's symbolical what you did.
Yeah.
That's symbolical. That can mean that we are now breaking the bandage. We are now breaking the bandage.
Hallelujah.
We are now breaking the bandage. Hallelujah. So that kids, hallelujah, will be liberated. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus. And so my friends in the U.S., this is an example of a broken brick, a symbol that children can have hope, children can dream, and they can be the best that they can be because of Jesus Christ. I hope and pray that someday there will be no more children or families working in brick factories. They will be liberated in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
I am surrounded by the arms of a Father. I am surrounded by songs of from
That's pretty intense.
I'm gonna need a minute.
You need a minute? Mm. Yeah, the problem is that I look like some of them, don't I? Right?
Yeah.
I think we have an old picture of me, right?
Yeah. Like,
yeah. I don't know if you put it up. Maybe you should. I don't know.
You're so cute, though.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Let's talk about why we sponsored Dua.
Yeah. Yeah. Goodness, when you came to me and shared like the conversations you were having with Jason and the opportunity we had as a church to connect, like, it was just so powerful. I think I've cried several times over the last couple of months as we've been gearing up to do this. I think you can tell through a lot of the outreach that we have such a heart and a passion for children and providing for them. And now we get to do it even more globally. Yeah. And, you know, because I'm a researcher, I was looking up this a little bit, just the education situation in Pakistan, that they actually have the next to last worst case scenario for their education system of the population of children not in school is the second largest in the world. And only about 67% of Pakistani children even finish primary school.
Yeah.
And the percentage of girls is dramatically lower.
I think it's 13%.
Yeah, I mean, it's just heartbreaking, just the complexities and the challenges that they face. And to think that we could step in.
Right.
And that even doesn't even address the hunger issues. And then the child labor.
Yeah.
Like, that's what some of that video was touching on, right?
Yeah, the thing is that these kids, if they just go to a regular school, they're back after school, and they've got to work. They've got to start working. And so, and they make bricks. They have to make bricks. And then they just follow into tradition to become brick layers or brick builders and things like that. And that's why the video was all about breaking that bondage of a cycle, because this school allows them to be in there and allows them to finish school and learn a trade, and they don't have to continue just being people, kids who build bricks and people who build bricks.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a huge thing.
Yeah.
All right, so let's get to it.
Yeah.
How do we do it?
Well, one of the great things about the Bridgely app is this is a place on the app that we can all join the community. You don't have to even sponsor a kid to be able to be a part of the community and see what's going on. And so I would encourage every one of you to scan this card and download the app. And we're going to walk you through that in a minute.
So the first thing they do is they scan this.
Yeah, the very first thing that you can do is you're going to scan the QR code.
And that's not science. That's not picking a child or
no,
committing to something.
Want to put up it's the just, first
yeah.
picture.
Yeah.
It's just going to take you to the Bridgely app that you can then download. And then the next picture, you'll see that you then, and then you'll become a community member. So where it says join for free, you can click on that. And that just gets you access into the Bridgely app. And then the next picture, you're going to like go through, fill out some information, and it's going to send you like an email with a pin that you'll keep on going. And and get that in. And then the next picture, then you'll scan the QR code again. Because here's the thing. And because, like you mentioned numerous times, thank you, David and Jennifer Gonzalez, for being my examples there. We want to protect the ministry and the kids. And so if you go on there, you can find a lot of the different communities all around the world, but you won't find the Cotri Hope Center, the Kingsway School, out of protection for them, because it is a little bit sensitive. Right. And so you'll scan the QR code again, and it will take you directly into
a private
community for the school in Pakistan.
And then, as you can see in this picture, you'll see profiles of these kids, and all of them have videos attached to them. And so you'll get, they're just kind of talking about who they are, what they're doing in school, how old they are, and they are the cutest videos.
When they first did it, I watched every single one of them. Well, at the time, there were 9. And I was like, 9, we have to actually sponsor all 9 right now. He said, no, we couldn't do that. But here, what's so beautiful, like this, so this is a new initiative that they're doing. So there's going to be some kinks along the way. But it's so beautiful, because if you watch the videos, they've been training the teachers to, like, make these videos. And the kids, they're so sweet. And what they're being able to do. And then if you look, you'll see it says posts, conversations, gallery, and members. So the posts, you can go and see, like, Bishop Mushtaq has actually posted a video talking about it. Naeem, you've got a video there. And you guys, Naeem's mom and his sister have already sponsored kids. And so when you go on there, you will see under posts and under conversations, interaction with them. Because when you sponsor a kid, so if you go and you click on the one little kid, say you want to sponsor Abraham, you'd click on his video, and then you could sponsor him. And it's $44 a month. And this provides them education, meals, holistic care, like we are talking about, that will transform their lives. And so anyway, when you go under conversations, if you sponsor a kid, it's not private. Like, they don't want any, like, private interaction going. So you get to see all the conversations. There's a video that Naeem and I made to the little girl that we sponsor, and it's actually, you're speaking in Urdu, so I don't know what he's saying, but
all good things.
It's awesome. But you can do that. You can send them, post a picture, and you can make a video, and then they'll respond back. And
what's great about it is that your family can interact with those kids.
Yeah.
So that's a beautiful thing, because your kids can make videos. I mean, it's a private group. So that's one of the beautiful things about it.
Yeah. And then even with the posts, like, the teachers will be able to post to us and say, hey, it's exam season. Please pray for the kids right now while they're going through, you know, that type of thing. So I just love the community aspect of it, and the thought that we have the potential to change these kids' lives. And that they're right now, there are more kids, but right now they have 40 kids' profiles up there.
Yeah.
And it would be amazing if every single one of those kids could get sponsored.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Let's do that. Yeah, it was, I opened up the app and I saw my picture of my mom, and I was like, what is mom doing here? She posted a picture of herself. So
she
that's
didn't.
Great.
Your sister did that.
So, all right, Brent, so easy. Let's just walk this through. Just make sure we know. Scan this, create the profile, scan it again, get into the private group, and pick a child. And,
yeah. And if you have any questions or you want help walking through this, I will be in the foyer. Please come find me, find Jason. We would be happy to answer any questions that you have just help make that happen.
Awesome. All right. Well, let me pray for us. Can we do that? All right, you guys can stay seated for a minute, and let me just pray, you know, because for some of us, we don't know. We just walked in here, you're thinking, you know, I don't know, God, I don't know if I've got all kinds of things in my life. So let's just pray. Lord God, I know that for some of us, we find ourselves in a space right now that we're committed in other ways financially. Others of us, like, God, we don't know, we, when it comes to finances, it just seems like we are living week to week and day to day. Others of us, God, we've seen this opportunity and we know that we can do it, and we just don't know. God, some of us are here, maybe watching even, going, I'm not really a part of Mosaic community. I'm not quite sure God, I do pray in all of those scenarios that, God, you would work and you would speak. And you would, like, God, not allow us to live a life that, that as we walk through life, we always pass by on the other side of an opportunity to help someone. God, we don't want to be people who just pass by on the other side. And so, God, I just pray that today, that God, that even just in this service, not between the two services, and not just these two services, but our church at large, God, I just pray right now, all the kids would be sponsored. And God, I pray that we would act out of generosity, kindness, and sacrifice, and see what we can do as we step forward. God, I know that as a church, when we stepped forward, even during COVID, and we were generous with our finances to other organizations, not just here, but globally, you met every need. So you respond to us being generous. I know you do. And so God, I pray you give us the grace and the passion to use our gratitude, because we're so grateful for so many things in our life, and to transfer that to generosity and helping kids, God, who might not have a future. God, I thank you for the little girl that I sponsor and Ashley sponsors, God. Her name is Dua, which means prayer. I pray, God, that we would be the answer to these kids' prayers. God, I thank you.
Thanks for listening to this message from Mosaic Church in Charlotte, North Carolina. For more audio and video content, visit us at mosaicchurch.tv.